it must be nice. It must be nice to be so self-assured, to be so clear that you can definitively call this election in the face of all these headwinds. That is what the mainstream media is doing. They're out there working overtime right now in an effort to convince everyone that any other possible explanation, any other notion whatsoever, is just plain old conspiracy theory stuff. And that's a fact, guys. I've got some facts, and these facts and these stories, they matter to our bottom line as a nation and to our bottom line as a free capitalist society. Hello, everyone. This is the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish, and let's get straight to the intel. Sworn affidavits alleging problems. Postal workers in Pennsylvania alleging suspicious activity. Dominion voting machines glitching. Glitching always seemingly for Biden. A recount by hand happening in Georgia. And yet, the New York Times declares, front page headline, election officials nationwide find no fraud. Like I said, it must be nice. It must be nice to just decide whatever you think is truth and have absolutely no qualms about printing it, about stating it as fact. Yet we have multiple postal workers coming forward in states like Pennsylvania telling us what they saw. I mean, what are they, just a bunch of hillbilly crazies? I guess so, as far as the New York Times is concerned. Don't forget, this was the same paper that literally lost it over a sitting U.S. Senator, Senator Tom Cotton, writing a piece, an opinion piece, on how it is at times necessary to call in the National Guard for things like looting and violence. Yeah, these are the people that are somehow being entrusted with telling the truth. The New York Times claims its reporters spoke to election officials throughout the country, and they all agreed that no evidence of fraud exists. Huh. I mean, only a little problem with that, because apparently some other people have talked to other people, and apparently there is some evidence of fraud that exists. I mean, so what, we're supposed to believe them? The New York Times? What they say must be fact, despite the news that hundreds of whistleblowers have come forward, providing sworn affidavits detailing the fraud that they witnessed last week in key battleground states, including Republican election observers being kicked out of counting facilities at some pretty important times, being told to ignore the requirement that signatures actually match, postal workers being directed to backdate ballots that were received after 8 p.m. on November 3rd. I mean, you know, and now we have today Republican senators in Michigan coming forward, the Michigan state legislator calling on Michigan's Secretary of State to conduct a full audit of the 2020 general election before certifying the results of any race. In today's letter, Republican state senators are requesting that the Secretary of State delay the certification of the results because of a series of errors, as well as allegations of voter fraud that are putting a lot of doubt into the minds of Americans right now, including many in Michigan, about their election process. The senators are writing that, quote, every citizen deserves to have faith in the integrity of the election process and its outcome. It is our responsibility, they write, as elected public servants, to assure the people of Michigan of the process's integrity through complete transparency and the faithful investigation of any allegations of wrongdoing, fraud, or abuse. Unfortunately, a number of serious allegations have been made which cannot and should not be ignored. And then the letter goes on to cite. Let me share this with you. And if anyone at the New York Times is listening, I'll share it with you too, because there was a 6,000 vote error in election results from Michigan's Antrim County. Antrim is just one of 47 counties, they're saying in this letter, in Michigan that use the software system Dominion voting systems to process their ballots. Okay, so a 6,000 vote error, courtesy of Dominion. Dominion was used in 47 counties, and it's particularly concerning, they go on to say, when at least one other Secretary of State, specifically in Texas, refused to certify Dominion voting systems for use because the examiner could not verify that the system was safe from fraudulent or unauthorized manipulation. So there are some, including some sources I have spoken to, that are suggesting that you could have had a situation of cyber fraud. I hate to think that, And I don't, you know, I certainly hope that that's not true. I mean, the Michigan Secretary of State is saying, look, you know, you don't need to worry about fraud. You don't need to worry about cyber fraud or any kind of hacking because the glitch was the result of human error. Okay. So let's kind of make sure that, right, that's the case. I mean, are we asking for too much to just verify it? The letter also points to a number of allegations that election officials critically mishandled, quote, numerous ballots. The list of allegations includes such claims as officials counting ineligible ballots, illicitly backdating ballots to make them eligible, and duplicating ballots illegally. Then the letter gets into, quote, allegations that unsecured ballots arrived at the TCF Center loading garage outside of sealed ballot boxes without any chain of custody and without envelopes. According to this letter, there were apparently allegations of 40,000 ballots that were taken from, quote, out-of-state vehicles, and they all went for one candidate. Yikes. Yikes. The senators went on to say that, you know, that these allegations are backed up by sworn affidavits of over 100 Michigan citizens that are real people and that are willing to face any kind of legal consequences to their lives and livelihoods to stand by their assertions. Wow. I mean, what a mess. And the New York Times is like, nope, nothing to see here. Just keep on going. I'll tell you one thing. We deserve better. You know what? We are the world's greatest economy. We ought to be able to make sure that this is all on the up and up. We ought to be able to make sure that we're a lot better than some banana republic, right? Where people don't believe in the system. We need to be able to make sure every American knows that their vote counts and that it's legal. Again, we deserve better. Coming up next, why the mainstream media is so determined to call these elections even when they're wrong. Fox now being forced to admit its mistake. I'm thinking these news organizations might just want to get out of the prediction business. Maybe try to stick to news. What's next? Well, the Fox News decision desk is predicting that Joe Biden is the next president of the United States. AP's predicting it as well. And you know what? They may just be right. And they may just be wrong. It's a prediction. At this point, a prediction only, and it seems to me as news organizations, hey, maybe just maybe they might want to deal in facts and deliver the facts. Maybe these predictions should be left to the opinion side of the business. Just saying. Because let's think about it. They don't always get it right now, do they? On election night, the Fox News decision desk correctly predicted, as they will tell you, after 9 p.m. Eastern, the Democrats would retain control of the House. However, they were flat out dead wrong on the rest of it. They estimated the Democrats would add about 5 seats to their majority. We need like a wrong buzzer right now. I'm going to quote one of their news anchors whom they scripted something for. That's what they do. You see, they script all this stuff for these quote unquote news anchors and they load it into the prompter, which he then read from the teleprompter saying, quote, that did not occur. Republicans have gained 6 seats with multiple races yet to be decided. So again, he said on election night, the Fox News decision desk correctly predicted that after 9 p.m. Eastern, the Democrats would retain control of the House. And then goes on, but they also estimated Democrats would add about 5 seats to the majority. That did not occur. No, it did not occur. It did not occur. So once again, I ask, maybe, just maybe, the news business ought to get out of the prediction business. I mean, when you've got a situation like we've got right now, and this is being contested, shouldn't we all just kind of sit and wait and be a little bit more patient? Doesn't America deserve that? I mean, why rush? Why do you have to be first? Why not just try and be right? Why be out there predicting? Why not just wait for the states to call it? Why not wait for concessions? You know, I remember in 2016 on election night, being on a call with none other than the Fox News decision desk. How did they get that one wrong? It was 5 p.m. on election night. I was getting ready to go into the studio. I was due to be on set at 8 p.m. And we were told on Fox Business, you know, you're probably only going to be on for until this whole thing is wrapped up. So, you know, maybe an hour after, but most likely you'll be done pretty soon after it's wrapped. and they expected it to be wrapped. In fact, the Fox News decision desk said, and I quote, "It'll be an early evening. Hillary Clinton has got this. You know, we should know by 9 o'clock. It was supposed to be wrapped up by 9 p.m. Well, we know they were wrong, right? Again, once again, the prediction business is different than the facts business. And so I would, if I were them, you can keep your decision desk, but maybe leave it to the opinion makers to deliver that news as opposed to your news personnel. It might actually protect your news personnel and your news division a little bit more. Anyway, oops, they got that one wrong on Hillary Clinton. And look, I don't begrudge them for wanting to predict the winner. I get it that, you know, they're all out there trying to be first and trying to, you know, look like they got it going on. But until the states certify the results, if it's close, if it's being contested, then you know what? Try to just have a little patience for the sake of America, please. But no, the media doesn't have any patience. The media also doesn't have any empathy for Americans who are trying to understand the truth right now, who are just not going to go out there and blindly follow whatever the mainstream media tells them that they're supposed to follow. The mainstream media has all kinds of fresh accusations and threats right now. They're trying to shame anyone who dares to just ask questions. The most un-American of them all, CNN. That's next. Well, you want to talk about a sickening scene? That would be the newsroom at CNN. Truly sickening. It seems these people would be a lot happier in the likes of North Korea or some other place other than the United States of America, a country where we have always, historically anyway, welcomed diversity of opinion and welcomed questions, right? We're always supposed to be able to think for ourselves, but yet these people have their political biases. Their political biases we're supposed to treat as gospel. You know, the head of the place over there at CNN, he's got political aspirations all onto his own, which I don't think will ever be fulfilled if you ask me. And then you get the main anchor there in the evening. He comes from a very political family with a brother who clearly has and has achieved some of his own political aspirations. You know, but for those of you out there listening right now, like me, who believe in the importance of ballot integrity, keep in mind that Chris Cuomo, CNN's primetime anchor, whose own brother oversaw the worst death rate in our country, he's out there now issuing a series of threats. I mean, this guy likes to call himself a journalist. My goodness. I mean, come on, buddy. Just admit you're a member of the Gestapo at this point. I mean, Chris Cuomo's losing it. He's making these lists out there. He's making all kinds of threats. He's promising revenge to anyone who dares to question these results. I mean, my gosh, folks in Michigan. Oh, wow. You Republican state senators, watch out. Don't you dare ask for a recount. Georgia, forget about it. You know, I'll tell you, these CNN people and many in the mainstream media, unfortunately, they're just not bright. They're not that bright. They try to act like intellects. They try to seem like they're the most smart people in the room, but, you know, they're not. And the reality is that they can't think outside their own narrow little world views. I mean, frankly, I'm going to be really cruel here, but they're just a bunch of television prompter readers who have been told right now to up the ante. And so they're up in the ante, and guys like Cuomo come out with statements like this, and I quote, "Remember who said nothing. Remember their shame. Again, this goes way beyond Trump. Trump is toxic. Surprise. However, the real surprise is the blame that must be put on those who ignore and therefore empower. Remember the people who are enabling this fraud. They must answer for defending Trump's delusions. They are remaining silent when it matters most." Come on, translation. Don't you dare question me or the mainstream media. We have spoken. I mean, fascist much, you think? Coming up, we're going to turn to the Fed and why the Fed has it all wrong. It's talking about how it wants to enable inflation. But wow, it's just getting none of it. Zero, zip, nada. Prices aren't going anywhere. A little weird? Not entirely. I blame the over-tinkering, if you would, at the Federal Reserve. That's next. Oh, they say they want inflation. they're begging for inflation. They're actually changing their mandate there at the Federal Reserve. They've changed it to say, well, welcome inflation. You know, they used to try and guard against it, but now bring it on because they can't get any. But I'll tell you, asking for it is not really the way to get it. I'm going to explain, but first of all, let's get to this U.S. Consumer Price Index thing here. Unchanged in the month of October. Lowest reading in 5 months, suggesting basically that prices aren't going anywhere. Nope. Even when you look at core inflation, which excludes all the food and energy costs, core CPI, basically you're seeing again a flat reading. So another indication that there's just no inflation in the economy. This is per the Labor Department report. Now, you might say, why is that? Why is that? I actually think it has something to do with the fact that the Fed is out there begging for inflation. In other words, when you telegraph something so meaningfully, it's kind of like, well, why bother? Right? I mean, we don't have to fear interest rates going up at any point in the near future. And therefore, there's not the same kind of demand. I mean, you're seeing, I love the V-shaped economy that's happening right now as people go back to work. But you're just not seeing this sort of raw demand, this push that you would normally see if there was the threat of higher interest rates in the future. In other words, if I think I can buy something this week for the same amount of money that I could buy it for in 6 months or a year, then why buy it this week? Right? I mean, there's no point. Or even worse, deflation. If you think you can get it on sale next week or in 6 months, then you're definitely not going to buy it today, right? And so this is what the Fed is up against. And so you would think they're saying, okay, well, we're going to leave rates at like zero forever. So people would say, oh, well, you know, I should go put money to work. But why put money to work, right? Because they're telling you they're just going to leave it there at zero like forever, that they don't even care if there's a little inflation out there. And so consequently, people are not incentivized to go put all that money in. I mean, it's like this reverse psychology. And they think that they can figure it out. But I'll tell you one thing. The American people are smart. The American economy is smart. And you can try and fiddle with it all you want. But I think it's rooted in something much, much bigger. And so when you tell us, hey, Jerome Powell and company, you're not budging on interest rates, no matter what kind of inflation we get in the near future, we're like, okay, you're not budging on interest rates. Therefore, why should I budge on my spending? Listen, the Fed has got to rethink everything that it's doing. And I hope it does soon, really, for the sake of all of us. But more importantly, I hope that everybody takes a deep breath right now. We don't know what the outcome of this election is going to be. It, you know, look, right now, the projection is for Joe Biden. But there's a lot of questions here right now, and I think that every American deserves answers. We need to believe in our system. We need to have faith in it. All of that matters. I'm going to see you online at trishintel.com. I'll see you on YouTube as well. And let's keep this conversation going.